It said it all when it said that blood was cleansing blood. That's what the blood does. It cleanses. And how many knows our whole world needs a cleansing? Amen. Amen. We won't be many more Wednesday nights in the first epistle written by John. But if you turn in your Bibles tonight to 1 John chapter 5, and we'll begin reading at verse 6. 1 John chapter 5, begin reading at verse 6. If there's anything we need to be convinced of, it's this is real. This is real. Could you stand? We're going to pray. I'm going to entitle this section tonight, and I know it's bad grammar, but it's to make a point. But do you got a witness? Do you got a witness? Turn and ask your neighbor that. Do you got a witness? Do you got a witness? Let's pray. Could we pray? Father, may your Spirit take over in our hearts and minds tonight as your word goes forth. Holy Spirit, do something eternal in our thinking, our feeling, our very willing of our hearts. And God, we thank you for this word we have as the measure and the rule of all of our life and living. God, thank you for this time we have together in your word tonight. May it be of eternal benefit in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to look at that last word. Go ahead, you can be seated. I was going to read, but you can be seated. I hadn't read the text yet. I fooled you by praying first. So since I prayed, you sat down. We usually stand for the reading, but that's okay. That's fine. I was just explaining to you what happened. Okay. I want you to look at this last word, witness. Get us out of habit. We're getting in trouble, don't we? The word witness is found 10 times in this short passage of 6-7 verses we're going to read tonight. I'm going to show those to you in a moment. Before I do, I just want to give you a brief definition of the word witness. Now, we used to use witness in the church referring to testifying. Anybody got a witness tonight? Or in sharing the gospel, we need to witness about Christ. So we use witness to talk about sharing the gospel or testifying. But literally what a witness is, it's a report of the evidence. A witness is a report of the evidence. Or it's a verifying of the account. Somebody else gives the story and you verify it. So a witness is a report of the evidence or a verifying of the account or the report. Now I want you to notice these word witnesses as we read tonight. Look at verse 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness. The Spirit beareth witness because the Spirit is truth. Verse 7, for there are three that bear record, and the Greek word is the same here for witness. So it's witness again. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. Verse 8, and there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. Verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath, and it's the same word in Greek again, which he hath witnessed of his Son. Verse 10, he that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not, God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the witness, record, the witness that God gave of his Son. Verse 11, and this is the record, and again, that's the same word, witness, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son hath not life. Over and over, the emphasis is on the word witness. Witness, evidence, verification. Now, in our black brothers and sisters, for years, when they preach, they'll say something like, Jesus died so we could be forgiven. And they'll say, can I get a witness? And the people will say, amen, or that's the truth, or preach it. Witness. The preacher is asking for a verification, a confirmation, an acknowledgement that what he spoke was truth. And so he said, Jesus died for our sins. Can I get a witness? The witness is to verify that. And the people say, amen, or preach it. But what if the witness doesn't come from the people? What if it comes from the Holy Spirit? What if the preacher says, God loves you? And something from within says, amen. That's right. How many knows the Spirit can give witness? Have you ever had the Spirit give witness in your heart? Let's look at these witnesses tonight. First of all, there are external witnesses. Look at verse 6. To understand this, we have to understand some things. He that came by water and blood. In the New Testament church, water and blood were words that stood for baptism and cross. So he that came by water baptism and the cross, even Jesus Christ. Now to understand this, we got to go back and revisit the very reason John wrote this epistle. He was writing to combat a false doctrine, Gnosticism. I'll tell you what they said in a minute, but I want you to look at just Jesus Christ. We see his name so often, Jesus Christ. We forget that that combination is telling us something. Jesus is talking about the fact that he was humanity, the embryo that was born, conceived in Mary's womb and born. Jesus is a reference to he was human. But Christ is a reference to that he was God. Christ means the anointed one of God. It's a synonym for the Son of God. So when you say Jesus Christ, we're talking about the man God. And John says he came by water, Jesus Christ came by water, not by water baptism only, but by water baptism and the cross. You see, these Gnostics went around and they were teaching this. They believed the body was evil. They believed God wouldn't have anything to do with the body. So they said when Jesus was baptized in water, that's when Christ came upon Jesus. And then when they nailed Jesus to the cross, Christ left. They said that Jesus came at the baptism because God would never be born as a man. He would never have that kind of relationship with humanity. And they say that Christ left on the cross because God would never die. And John said, you're wrong. Christ didn't come upon Jesus at the baptism and leave on the cross. He was Jesus Christ from the very beginning. He came from Mary's womb, Jesus Christ. He came by water, and the word literally means through water. He came to his Jordan River to be baptized, Jesus Christ. He was baptized in water, Jesus Christ. He was Jesus Christ all through his ministry. And when they nailed him to the cross, up to his last breath, Christ was still there. Jesus Christ. He was Jesus Christ from beginning to end. He was God-man from start to finish. He never changed. He was the God-man. You know, if our minds could ever get wrapped around that, oh, what a liberating truth that it is to know that God has come in the flesh. They're wrong, John said. Those that would teach you otherwise, from start to finish, he was God. Jesus and Christ are inseparable. And then look what he says in the last part of the verse. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness. When you hear that taught, if you're a believer and you hear what I just told you, something within should be saying, that's true. Amen. That's right. Because the Spirit bears witness to that. And how many knows the Spirit is never wrong? The Spirit will never tell you falsehood. I heard someone this week said they prayed about something and God told him to do it. And I said, no, the Spirit didn't tell you that. How can you tell me that? Because it goes against God's word. And the Spirit will never tell you falsehood. Amen. And John said, I'm writing this to you that Jesus Christ were one and the same. But the Spirit is telling you that as well. You see, the Spirit bears witness. And everything the Spirit is true. How does the Spirit bear witness? Well, at the very baptism. What happened at Jesus' baptism? The heavens opened, and who descended upon Christ? The Spirit, and God's voice spoke and said, this is my beloved Son. So at the baptism, the Spirit bore witness. But how else does the Spirit bear witness? Because the Spirit inspired the gospel writers. And they said that Jesus was the Son of God. So there the Spirit bore witness. But there's one more way the Spirit bears witness. And that is by talking in our hearts and letting us know when we hear truth. Aren't you glad for that witness? I wish more people would listen to that. They'll listen to I thought this, never wrote it down, but you know, people will listen to every other voice of this world and yet turn a deaf ear to the voice of the Spirit. Have you noticed that? They'll listen to folks that don't give a hoot about them, really. They'll listen to ungodly folks. They'll listen to news commentators. They'll listen to this, and they will not listen to the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit speaks truth. Let's move on. Verse 7. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, who is the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. We could talk a long time here. I'm not going to. I'm just going to say our faith rests on solid evidence. Remember, a witness is an affirmation of evidence. It's a verification of evidence. We have solid evidence for our faith. Our faith is not based on fables. Our faith is not based on philosophies. It's not based on myths. It's based on the Word of the Father. It's based on the Word of the Son. It's based on the Word of the Holy Spirit. You can trust those three. That's our witness. People said, what you believe is just a bunch of myths. No, sir. We believe what the Father has said. We believe what the Son and the Spirit have said. That's strong affirmation of evidence. All our witnesses concur. They all line up. The Father, the Word, the Holy Spirit, they all agree. They all say the same thing. None of them will ever say something counter to the other one. The big uproar for the last 2 weeks is a very prestigious, esteemed news commentator. It's been found out he's been lying. Talked about being in a helicopter and shot by a grenade, and all of this is all made up. And I know there's got to be some honest ones, but how many really expected to believe a news commentator? I mean, that's the one we get our evidence from, our facts from, our news from. But what he said was discounted by actual eyewitnesses. But I want you to know, when it comes to things of God, the witnesses never disagree. They never discount what God has spoken. I just want us to get tonight. I know you know this. I'm reaffirming it. And you ought to have the Holy Spirit in you shouting amen. What we believe, you have it on strong evidence. All of heaven, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, concur to this testimony of Jesus Christ. Let's just talk a little bit about eyewitnesses. We're not going to a whole lot. But there are eyewitnesses of accounts of Jesus' baptism, the water, and his death, the blood. Did you know when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're reading histories? I mean, they'll take a little fragment written 2,000 years ago, just one little fragment, and they'll build a whole stories on it in history and say, this is what happened. And they'll ignore the histories of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew was an eyewitness. He walked with Jesus. You say, Mark, how was he an eyewitness? You remember that young man, John Mark, that was in the garden, later went with Paul? Remember him? Almost every Bible scholar would concur, and you could see things in it, that all John Mark did is write down what Peter told him happened in the life of Christ. So Mark is really the eyewitness account of Peter. You say, Luke, he didn't walk with Christ. No, but you know what he did as a historian? He found every living person that he could that knew Christ personally, and he interviewed them, and he studied, and he wrote down notes of what they said, and then Luke wrote his gospel based on eyewitness accounts of the life of Christ. And John leaned on his bosom. That's a pretty close eyewitness account. Those are eyewitness. And after Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible says he was seen of above 500 people at one time that verified he was a resurrected Lord. That doesn't sound like the stuff of fables to me. We got a witness. We have a verification of the evidence. You know, our young people, and I'm not just making this as a fleeing statement. I've been reading about this. Our people go to church and they hear stories about Christ in Sunday school and in church, and they get to college, and class after class will tell them it's a bunch of myths. It's not true. It's not real. And up to 70% that go to college and more turn from their faith when they get to college. They take the word of that junk, much of it which cannot be verified, much of it that has no evidence to it. I'm telling you, the evidence is behind this book. I'm not going to get into it tonight, but do you know how much evidence there truly is for the evolutionary theory? It's laughable. It's unscientific. We're the ones with the evidence, with the eyewitness accounts, and they all concur. They agree. Verse 8, not only are there three that bear witness in heaven, there are three that bear witness in earth. The Spirit, the water, which is Jesus' baptism, and the blood, the cross. And here it is again. These three, they all concur. They agree in one. There are external witnesses of who Jesus is and of what we believe, and we can rely upon these witnesses because they have never been proved wrong, and they never will be proved wrong. They've been trying to discount the witness for 2,000 years now. They've been unable to. You know, it really is this way. They've been unable to. Now, if he says here that Jesus, the water, was a witness, and the blood was a witness to the cross, did you know every time somebody is baptized in water, that's a picture of Christ's baptism, and that's a verification that Jesus was who he said he was, because he's still changing lives. Every water baptism reflects the baptism of Christ and says that he is Lord, he is the Son of God. You know, it can become a ritual, but did you know every communion is a witness and a verification that Jesus died on the cross, historically died for our sins, and rose again? You do show forth my death till I come through communion. Every time we partake communion, it's a witness that Jesus has died and risen again. I'm not here to argue these things. You could look them up for themselves, but it has been a topic also the last 2 weeks. And I told you a little bit about that, this claim of global warming. You can believe what you want to of it, but the thing is, you know, they were almost rejoicing that 2014 was the hottest year ever because it was 0.014 a degree hotter. I mean, think about that. But what has been disturbing the last 2 weeks, and I'll tell you, I'll be one of the first to tell you, they need more evidence to prove this. But they're saying that several scientists are saying to show that they had to go back years in the past and cook the books. They had to change the data to support their view. I want to tell you, that has never happened to Christianity. Christianity has never had to go back and doctor the book to prove what it believes. Amen. You don't have to cook this book. What it says is true. Amen. Verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which you have testified of his Son. And we do receive the witness of men. We really do. I mean, we couldn't hardly make it if we didn't receive the witness of men. I mean, there's an accident. You saw it. You go to court. He ran out at red light. I saw it. They convict the man on your witness. Water freezes at 32 degrees. Aren't you glad you didn't have to prove that? You take the witness of men. That's a good fishing hole down there. You take the witness of men. It's going to be 10 degrees tomorrow. There's a cell at Walmart. I know you take the witness of women. We begin church at 6 on Sunday evenings. So in all kinds of things, we take the witness of men. But here's the catch. He said, we receive the witness of men. That's true. But we receive the witness of men knowing that sometimes it's wrong. Don't we? Don't you realize when you take the witness of men that sometimes it's not the truth? But he says, with God, that's never the case. The witness of God is greater because it's never wrong. And if you're going to take the witness of men, why not take the witness of God? I mean, take you take the witness of I mean, just in your peer group, or take the witness of some so-called authority on the television, or take the witness of a university professor. And it could be faulty, but take the witness of God. It's unerrant. It's unfailing. Amen. And I would say, make one final note about this. If the witness of man contradicts the witness of God, you know which one's true. Always take the witness of God over the witness of man. Those are the external witnesses. Now John turns to the internal witness. Verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. It's inside him. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. There's all these external witnesses, but there's an internal witness. Whoever says all this about Jesus isn't true, whoever says the Bible isn't true, the Bible doesn't mean what it says, is calling God a liar. You know what it says? He that believeth not God hath made God a liar. You call God a liar. You know, some people like to pose and posture as being really intellectual and say, well, I know the Bible says that, but what I think is, whatever you say, you just called God a liar. I like what it says clear back in the Old Testament, let God be true and every man a liar. Amen? God said it was true. You said it wasn't. Who's the liar? Think about that. Here's God, you know. He said something. Here I am. You know, even at 6'3", how tall do you think I look to God? And God said, this is true. And I go, I mean, who's the liar? Who's the liar? Let God be true. Verse 11. And here's this internal wisdom. He tells us what it is. Verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. The internal witness is the eternal life within us. If you are born again, if you are possessing of eternal life, then when you hear the truth, and it's been all through the Epistle of John, if you have eternal life in you, when you hear the truth, something within agrees with it. It says amen. Just like in the black church, can I get a witness? When you hear the truth, the eternal life in you says, yes, that's true. Let me tell you, please hear this across the building. When you quit, when you're hearing the Word of God preach, you quit feeling something stirring in you, you're in a dangerous place, because you've lost the eternal internal witness. And if you've lost the internal witness, that means you've lost the eternal life. See that? We believe the external witness, and something happened inside us. The Savior we read about is given witness by the Savior that dwells within us. Think about that. The external witness. The Savior we read and heard about, the external witness, becomes the Savior that dwells within us and gives us eternal life. And so, yes, our faith is based on historical facts about Jesus. But faith isn't just a head knowledge of those facts. Faith is my putting my trust in what Jesus has done. And after I've put my trust in him, he gives me eternal life within. Verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. You can't really fully translate it in the English, but the word has, it's a present progressive. That means it's not just a one-time thing. It's something that continually happens. It's not that one time you got saved. You're saved tonight. It's not that one time you had eternal life. Eternal life is there tonight. You have it. You had it yesterday. You had it this morning. You had it this afternoon. You have it this evening. And you'll have it tomorrow, as long as you keep your heart right with him. You have this eternal life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. You know what this just said? You can have everything else. You can have possessions, you can have houses, you can have relationships, you can have automobiles, you can have money, you can have everything else, and you'll never have life until you have the Son. How many has the Son? Could I get a witness? How many has the Son? If you don't have the Son, you'll never have life. Amen. So all of this has been about receiving a witness. I'm not going to change sermons, but I'm going to make about a 15-second statement. All of this tonight has been about receiving a witness, external witness and an internal witness from the Spirit. But I tell you, there's one more thing the Bible teaches. When we have received the witness, then we're also under this obligation to give a witness. There's people in your life that will never read this book right here. There's people in your life that will never be in a Holy Spirit service and feel the Holy Ghost at work. The only witness you're ever going to get is what comes from your life and your lips. So I want to ask the question, do you got a witness? Let me ask it this way. What's your witness like at work? What's your witness like in the neighborhood? What's your witness like at school? Does your life say Jesus is Lord? Jesus is real. Jesus died for our sins. This is what Jesus did for me. Music, would you come? I don't know if you remember reading about this last year, but I got a few questions here we'll get to. They finally caught a man in Brooklyn. I'm sorry, Brother Dale, as a postman. You can tell us how this all happened. But way back in 2005, he decided they were asking him to deliver too much mail. So when they caught him, he had hoarded away 2,500 pounds of mail. That's 40,000 pieces of mail that never got delivered to businesses and residents. He didn't deliver the mail. I have a question. You've received a witness. Have you been delivering the mail? Okay, here's some questions. Oh, that was a prayer request. Is the glorified Christ still Jesus Christ, man God, and will Jesus be eternal man God? You know, that's just as much wonder right there as it is that Jesus was conceived and became God in the flesh. From the womb, he was God, man, 100% God, 100% man. I believe the wonder of that is he still 100% God, 100% man. We know he still has, the Bible says, a body. It's been resurrected. But it says we will have a resurrected body like his glorious body. We know that he showed Thomas the scars. And so we know he still has the body. And we also know he never ceased being the Son of God. As God, he's everywhere present. And yet as man, he still is localized. Howbeit in heaven, he's localizing everybody. So the answer is yes, he's still Jesus Christ. 100% man, 100% God. Oh, wonders of wonders. And I'm not going to get into it tonight, but that answers so many philosophical questions that the philosophers throughout time have sought for. That might be a challenge to some of our college and high school students. If take the incarnation and see if it doesn't answer the philosophical questions of the ages. Very good question. See if we got. I really need to put my glasses on. As a young person that hears lies, that Christianity stuff is fake, it's not real, there's nothing to it, what is the best response upon a young person's witness of Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, let me say, no response will ring true unless you're truly a believer. You can't defend something or give a witness of something you really don't believe. So the first step is to truly believe it yourself. If you truly believe it yourself, yes, it's great. It's great to know the Word of God. You need to know that and all of that. You need to know the story. But the best witness you can give is to speak out of your life. Let the Spirit speak out of your life and say, this is what Jesus means to me. This is what Jesus has done for me. You'll hear it over and over and over. And you know, look, I'm not trying to be facetious here. And I'm by no means putting myself up as a scholar. But I've studied enough and know enough to realize what they've done. On television, any documentary that has anything to do with Christ, they find the most liberal scholars that they can. Even the ones that are supposed to be on the other side really aren't the other side. And they'll postulate brilliance and sound so brilliant. And if they do share the conservative side, they find a nut. And I know better. I've read too many books. For everything those liberals are saying, there is someone who believes the Bible is unerring that has an answer that would make them look like fools. And I could give you example after example right here tonight if we had the time. So, you know, they try to postulate like they're the intelligent one and we're ignorant and we're primitive. That's not true. And by the way, the thing that brought the most brilliance, the most rapid progression in science, economics, and everything was when people followed the principles of this word. And every time they got away from it, there has been a decay of society, and we're seeing it unfold before our eyes. The biggest, well, not the biggest, but one of the great truths that this is true, that when men go away from it, they implode, there's destruction. We're seeing that today. The Bible tells us what marriage is. You get away from what the Bible says it is, you're going to see untold of destruction. Amen. And I believe that's all. I got some amens here, some witnesses, some text messages. Witnesses. All right. Well, I know I only want to receive the witness. I want to give the witness, don't you? Could you stand? God bless you tonight. Amen. Would you come and say, Lord, let my life be a witness? Could you do that? Amen. God has somebody you can witness to, somebody you can share the evidence with.